When we last left our heroes,
we were discussing the Terim for Shehita, meaning under what circumstances is it mutter to do Shehita. So I think we mentioned two of them last time. Maybe the order we said was one, Kedera Chaisa, and two, either, or Mibush, right? Either Kamacho Ben Kusai, or Kaltsarko, boom, it's Tami. Your dialogue, depending on which Shita you paskin like. One debt I had from last time, I said I would look around in the poskim to see if there's anyone who said Kedera Chaisa. It depends when your Mekabel Shabbos. Like, even if you're Mekabel Shabbos early, that counts as a Heter Kedera Chaisa. So I saw in the Chut Shani of Rav Karelitz, he just said, whenever you're Mekabel Shabbos, and it made it sound like anytime you're Mekabel Shabbos, I saw the Jersey Mishabura, they also understood Stam Kipshuto that way. What?
Solves a lot of issues then.
Yeah, so according to him, if it's just raw when you're Mekabel Shabbos, that's a Heter Kedera Chaisa. Beseder, most people don't seem to assume that way. But there is, you know, he does pass in that way, and Lachor, those were Sumich on him. Happened to be Sumich on him. Okay, now, let's go back to Simon Rishon. Gimel, start again from the beginning. Ki Rishu Asuri Kedera V'Shotzen Alpia Kedera L'Ma'la V'Yish Malkam Shisa Shtei Kederos Im Huska B'Gefesh Yubsola Shal Zeisim V'Eitzim. If it has a serious fuel that makes coals, like the leftover olive parts and wood, also Lita L'Tafri L'Yom L'Shosu Aleha, you're not allowed to put do shehia. Elam kainis bashu called sarko from mitzamik bralo. The like lamecha shemichata oshu chayshul is bashu klal. Chaim shuchaim see if tayt men wad lamacher v'chol aliyoch the bashu below chitoy. Of all the bashu klas k'sasim, the bashu called sarko. The feeling the bashu called sarko mitzamik yavolo. The chayshino shemichata v'also lashosu aleha. That's how far we got last time. Elam kain. Here is the mission. Beginning third parak. Right. Akira is aser. She siku begeps ve'itzim is aser shehia unless. Elam Kane, Garaf, Okatam, right? Elam Kane, Garaf, Dain Shahot Menakola, Yacholam, Okatam, Dain Yushikiza, Kolam, Efer, Lema, Eight, Chomam. Okay, so here we have two other Heterim. These are called Garaf and Katam. Right, these are usually put together as a pair. Just in terms of the details, what does Goroth mean? So what does it say here? Hotzi mimenu kol hagecholim. Which of those words is a machlokas Rishonim?
Kol.
Right? This is a machlokas hotzi mimenu kol hagecholim. This is a machlokas between the Rambam in... and the Balamor and the Ran, Garuf. So according to the Rambam and the Tor, I have to reformulate a little. Let's just, what does Garuf mean? According to the Rambam and the Tor, it means Hotzi, right? Kol Hagecholim. You take out all the chalim. According to the Balamor, right? Rav Levi and the Ran, what does it mean? What does Garuf mean?
Son.
Doesn't mean you. Actually, I take it back. What?
You move it to the side.
To the side, right? Means Garuf Hagecholim Letzarech. Right? You sweep them all into the corner of the oven. Right? The reason behind this is that they assumed, well, the main incentive of the Balamor and the Ran is, we'll see later, they assumed that Garuf is still usher in a tamer, but if you took out all the coals, Hagev Shachnath or anything, there's no coals left. So it must be swept on the side in a very strange way that wasn't a good way for cooking. Okay, so they say it means you sweep them on the side.
Garuf means sweep?
Yeah, Garuf is literally a sweep, yes. Maybe I'm wrong.
This is why you needed a Tanakh.
Yeah, but I could be that I don't remember the right the right place. Right. It's not a pasuk. It's an unklus. Right. In this week's parsha, that's what remember. Tavib sachter avasol misbe kibba umagrof yasa. Right. Unklus is umagrof yasa. And okay, you also have to know what the Hebrew means. But magrof yasa means the things that you sweep, as Rashi says. You see, if you know unklus and Rashi, you'll probably be okay. Ke targumo makrefo shenotam amadesh min kisu gedersh amatechos dak velo beis gad. It's like a flat thing with a handle that you sweep with. Okay. Even just Rashi was surprised, actually. He used the word makrefo. So, garef is to sweep. You sweep them out, in which case, seemingly at least, there's nothing left to stoke. Or do you sweep them to the side? So we paskin very clearly, the Mechaber is very clearly hoti kol l'chutz. We'll come back to the kol later, I apologize. We paskin like the Rambam and the Torah that it means you get rid of the coals. You take out the coals, le gamre, that is called garf. Yeah?
I think this is a partial thing, but we obviously mean before Shabbos. You're allowed to take coals out of
the obviously mean before Shabbos. Meaning the original garf and kotum, you couldn't do on Shabbos.
Because
Garof is probably some combination of Mukta and Havara and Kiboy, etc. And Kutum is clearly Kiboy. Right? Modern day, we don't really have Garof. To the best of my knowledge, we don't really have Garof nowadays. On our stoves, like what would Garof mean? You turn off the stove, not do very much. I mean, that's not going to help anything. You can't leave anything on the stove that's turned off. It gets cool in 3 seconds. Maybe if you turned off your oven, right? What if you left the food in the oven and you turned off the oven? You turned off the oven lagamre. I mean, that we'll see that a little later, right? That would seem to be an equivalent of garf. I don't know how well we'll keep things hot. It might a little. You turned it off lagamre. So that's clearly a very strange way of cooking. But it's not, not so common. Even that, I don't know. How long did it stay hot in the oven? I don't know. Anyone ever try? As soon as you open it up, it'll, yeah. Anyway, so lemaisa, garif is... Now, in the old days, their ovens were, because their fuel was much worse, their ovens were much better at retaining heat. Meaning, our ovens... a little background. Our ovens are made of metal with maybe a little ceramic coating, etc. Metal is not good at retaining heat. Right? Now, they're insulated a little. Our ovens retain heat a little. But our ovens aren't built for, like, the box. The metal of the oven doesn't store a lot of heat. Because our ovens have electricity and gas. And you turn them on when you want them on. There's no need for it to store heat. Old-fashioned ovens were made of bricks and things like that. That stored a ton of heat. You could turn them off. I mean, I have a friend with an old-fashioned oven. He says he could take out all the fire. And a day later, he can still bake matzah in it. Like these things, they just had the capability of storing a lot of heat in the actual bricks of the tanner, which is important when they didn't have such good fuel. So you could still cook in a garuf, but you wouldn't stoke the coals, so you'd be okay. Certainly according to the Rambam, you're not going to stoke the coals, because there's no coals to stoke, at least that's what we think for now. What about katum? Katum means literally there's different meanings of katum. What's kitma in Aramaic?
Afer,
good. Right?
Which unklus tells us?
Kitma Sharaik, by Lush, right? So, the way you would put out a fire in the old days is actually not dissimilar. Anyone here ever do campfire, Lag BaOmer thing, etc.? How are you supposed to safely? You're not supposed to leave the fire going, right? That's very unsafe. No, you're not supposed to pour water on it to put out the fire. What are you supposed to do with?
Dirt. Sand.
You're supposed to put sand on it, or dirt, etc., right? I don't know the physics behind it, but putting, like, small particles of things that don't catch fire easily, or whatever,
suffocates.
It suffocates the flame. That's the best way to put it out. So that's what they used to do in the old days. They used to use ashes for that. Ashes are all burnt out, right?
They're not such good fuel. So they would put ashes on the coals in order to douse the flames, and that's katan. They are also mentioned in using the over sopishtan sometimes. They're like a dust, sawdust. That's not sawdust. They're like little bits that fell out when you beat the flats.
They would, the same thing we do, it would suffocate the fire, and that's katum, that puts out the fire, and that takes care of the issue. You cover them with ashes, and you lessen the heat. The Gemara says, Mefurish, that it doesn't need to be katum legamri. It doesn't need to be totally suffocated, and you don't need to totally put out the fire. As the Shulchan Aruch says, the ma'it choman. You only need to lower the heat, to slightly douse the fire, even if you don't totally put out the fire. And just for example, where are we in the Mishnah Berurah? Hainu kol ha-gecholim, says the Mishnah Berurah first. Kol ha-gecholim. You have to put ashes on all the. I mean, it's not enough to put ashes on the right half or the left half. Just like you have to sweep all of them, you have to put ashes on all of them. But you have to put ashes on all of them, but you don't put a lot of ashes on them until you douse the flame entirely. I'm reading Mishnah Berurah Yadalit. Rak mikisi ever kolshu me ala pleim tagi. Even a little layer, a little suffocating in ashes is good enough. Right? Even if it is not a complete. Again, you have to put ash on all the coals, because otherwise half of it's ketumah and half of it isn't. But you don't put enough ash on all the coals, like if you wanted to safely put out a campfire. It's enough to put a little ash on all the coals and just make it a little, and just make it a little. Sorry, and just make it slightly cooler. So some of the details are even. What's the lashon of Mishnah Berurah that I just read? Kisa ifer kolshu, even a ktima. Kisa ifer kolshu is mutter. Even a kisa ifer kolshu is mutter. Likewise, as says the Mishnah Berurah here, he points out, Vafilu huver acharkach shari. Even if, we'll have to figure out why in a moment, let's not fully explain it yet, even if it rises up again, like sometimes, again, if you would do a full ketima, it would probably be very unlikely. Let's say you do a partial ketima. Sometimes it might burn through and start burning properly and almost undo what you did in your ketima. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it is still mutter. This is based on a Gemara. Huvra achar kach is mutter. That's before the Gemara in Daf Lamed Zayin, going from an Aleph to Amid Beis. The Mishnah Berurah points out here in the Shar Tzion, I keep losing my place, that the there's 2 days in Tosfos. He doesn't quote the Rabbi Kiva Eger, but Rabbi Kiva Eger is machmir that maybe it depends if it burns a lot or burns a little. If it burns a lot, Rabbi Kiva Eger here, then it's only mutter if it was fully cooked. But if it only burns a little, it's mutter even if it was partially cooked. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, mutter legamrei, huver achar kach is mutter. Says the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah against Rabbi Akiva Eger, right? Across the board. Right? Unlike Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says, well, depending on how cooked it is, he says, if it's only cooked in Machman or Slay, it's only mutter if it burns a little more. If it's fully cooked in the Samuel Vigafalo, then it's mutter even if it burns a lot more. No, Mishnah Berurah says we reject that. He explained in the Sharet Sion that we pass like the other day in Tosos to suffer your own kula. So we say across the board it's no problem. He even adds Odom Rishon. Filo Chom Shal Rotsu Chin Marin Likavashkat Shari. even if they were very hot coals. Since you've shown that you don't want it, that's good enough. I'll come back to that in a moment. Od Isa. He also quotes the word, this is all from Yudala. One last detail is that means they started dying on their own. What are you supposed to do on Friday? They started dying on their own. What are you supposed to do if they start dying on their own? You're supposed to do chitoy. On Friday, you saw they're already dying and you didn't do chitoy. You let them die. So that's what he says. Gecholim she'emamu. The lo chita is also mutter. Right? So even if you didn't cover them, they just went down on their own, that's also okay, because in all these cases you've shown that you don't want strong coals. Right? Either by dousing them, even if it rises up again, the flame rises up again, or they went down on their own and you didn't do what normal people do, which is stoke them, then you've shown that's the equivalent, meaning passively letting them die without doing what normal people do, is the equivalent of actively dousing them, and that is good enough. That was all in the Mishnah Berurah Yadalad, all quoting the Mefurish Gemaras. Now, before we get to some of the Lumdus, and we do need some Lumdus here, let's talk about what that has to do with modern day reality. Right, Goruf, not so relevant to modern day reality. If we take out our heat legamre, our ovens and stoves probably don't do very much. What about Katum? What about Katum? Meaning, it doesn't mean you turn down the fire, like from a low flame, medium flame, etc. Those are all like regular kinds of flames. It means you mamish, like, make the coals die, which isn't shy in our ovens. Our ovens have electricity and gas. Like, there's no dying. So, what's the equivalent that we do nowadays for Goruf or Katum? No, because from high to low is not Goruf or Katum. That's the regular way the ish is supposed to be. That's not dousing it. We cover, well, anyone remember? Blech. In America, when I grew up, maybe still, right, who saw a blech in their house? That's that big rectangle of metal, like flat rectangle metal you put on the stove. Okay, people still have them nowadays, I see. So you put a blech on the fire. That's what we do. That's obviously not similar to Goruf, but we see that's similar to Katum. Katum is covering the fire. A blech is covering the fire.
Water blechs.
Okay, let's assume for now.
Was it water blech?
We'll get to it. Let's just for now treat it as a regular blech.
Do we have to get into the Lumdus to understand how to apply it to others?
Yes, we do, but but nonetheless, let's at least start. What about blech? What about covering the fire? Does covering the fire help? So this is the topic of the first beer halacha. Litin aleha, hainu al gav hakira. It says the first beer halacha, v'gava nikra obi defanus hakira. You're not allowed to put on it without garuf hakatum, which means put on the walls of the kira. Right? Remember, the way their kiras looked is there was no roof. You just either put a pot inside or put a pot on top of it. The kol shekein neged chol hakira mi le mala, v'afilu im hu. So again, what's on top of it? Meaning either you put something on the walls or you just suspend something, on top of the middle. V'afilu mechusa v'kisuya. Of course, their kiras had a cover. Meaning it was like a pot with a lid, like it was a round thing, open on top, and there was a lid. What if you put the lid on the kira and then put your kadira on the lid? Says the Mishnah Berurah, even if you put it on the lid, it's still usur. Ka'akaz of Rashi v'daflam and zayin v'atur l'kama v'sif zeh. Rashi and the Tor, at least, let's grant him that's what they say. Ach mi divir aram and per gimel l'chadal shechasam ein mashanu sol gabi ha'esh v'shabes ayin sham mashu l'chor dal gabi kisoy ein b'chal gaba. Meaning Rashi and the Tor sound like on a kisoy is usur, and the Rambam sounds like only on an open flame is aser, but on a kisoy is mutter. And on a kisoy is like tuma, says the bir halacha. The amrinan, the mistama shavisich, daitman of loosil chtuye. That, therefore, when you put it on the cover, you don't want it to get so hot, and you're not going to do chitoy be gecholim. Va'ayin bidin yud gimel of the Rambam shkatzim tov b'tan b'tet mashva ap mchusi yishkash chitoy hanishalim shani. Yeah, and the Rambam does admit even in a covered
stove, there's a chash of kitoy.
If the pot is inside the cover stove, that's different. But if the pot is on top of the cover, no. So basically, he brings out a machlokes rishonim, at least in the simple pshat. he brings out a machlokes rishonim. What about a kisoy? Is a kisoy like kotel? Right? So he brings down a machlokas rishonim.
He says the bir halacha. According to Rashi and the Tor, it is aser. And according to the Rambam,
it is mutter. He's not, doesn't explicitly, he doesn't explicitly paskin here, what? Yeah, that counts as ktuma.
Right, much of the shahos.
It counts as ktuma. Right, or let's say a little better. Says the
bir halacha is kisoy like kotzer, which would make it mutter. He would say Rashi and the Torah say no. And the Rambam says yes. So for the Rambam, it's like kotzer, you could leave any pot there. But for Rashi and the Torah, no.
You cannot. The Mishnah himself doesn't paskin terribly much here, right? But a little later on, if you don't believe me, you can turn to it in Sifkat and Pei Aleph. Okay, that's a slightly different. Just to be fair, maybe that's a slightly different case. There he's talking about Chazara, not about Shahia, but he's talking about putting something on the roof of an oven, like, you know those old-fashioned ovens with the doors on the side? So let's say you put something on top of the roof. So is that mutter or not? And he quotes there from the Maharil that you have to put another cover there for a hecker. So it seems to be, from his Gun Pei Aleph, that he leans towards Rashi in the Torah, saying that it would not be good enough. The maskana would then be, especially Alpi Mishnah Brura, so Cut and Pei Aleph would be like Rashi the Tor, that the kisoy doesn't count, and you need. But what does he say, Pei Aleph? The kisoy doesn't count. You need to put another daf, another covering. So it's not that covering never works. It's that you would need a second covering. And you need a second covering. That seems to be the maskana of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, let me ask you, based on that Mishnah Berurah, let me ask you a very simple question. Based on that Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah says, no, the kisoy of the stove of the kira, or the roof of the kira, that's not good enough. You need to put an extra covering. So how about putting a blech on our stoves? Would that be good enough? So here.
No.
A blech.
On our stoves. What's the fire, the oven or the stove top?
Let me draw it for you. Okay? Here is the case of the beer halacha. The beer halacha says, here's your kira, here is your fire, here is your cover, right? So, Rashi and the Torah say usher. The Rambam sounds like it's mutter. But, and what's the Mishnah Berurah Sukkot and Pei Aleph? He's talking about a slightly different case. He's talking about this kind of stove. where here's the fire inside, maybe there's a door inside. And he says the same thing. He says, the Ma'aril says, Usser, but mutter if you put another cover. Right? But mutter if you put another cover. 1 second. And then put your pot on the other cover. That is mutter. But with a second cover is mutter.
And I think lachora we can bring the same thing to our case. That was slightly different. That was on a roof, not on a lid. But lachora there, you can see the same thing. Right? Lachora with second cover,
it would be mutter. I mean, it would be usher to put on the lid, just on the lid or just on the roof.
But if you put a second cover, that should be mutter.
That's pashut pshat in the Mishnah Berurah. Yes?
The way I'm reading the Bar Halacha is that it's a kisoy on top of the... There's a... The kir has like a roof on top, and then he's talking about a kisoy on top of that. Because in the first line he says... what's ove defunos?
The thickness of the walls.
The thickness on top of that? On top of that?
No, the thickness of the walls... Let's see here. On the thickness of the walls, that's clearly Algaba. If you, let's say you balance it on the thickness of the walls, that's clearly Algaba. Mm-hmm. What if you put the lid on the walls and then put it on top of the lid? So that, he says, according to the Rambam is Mutter, according to the Torah and Rashi is Usser. But if you put a lid and then another covering, that should be okay.
The way that I saw pictures in the Mishnayos book, they have like a hero with like, it has a hole in it comes with like a built-in like roof, and there's a hole in there that you like put the pot on.
That's not what he's talking about. Uh-huh. That's what he says in the beginning. Neged chala kira lamala, like it's mamish open to the middle. That's not the machlokas between Rashi and the Torah versus the Rambam. That's not the machlokas between Rashi and Torah and the Rambam. So let me just take this once more now. We got those pictures, hopefully. Right? Does a cover count as Eish Ketumah? Right? Does a cover count as Eish Ketumah? So what did the Bir Halacha say? He said, Rashi and the Torah said no. And the Rambam said yes. The question is, and the Rambam said, implied yes, right? But, and here I'm adding to the Mishnah Berurah a little later, but, if you add another cover, then it's mutter. That's based on the Mishnah Berurah Pei Aleph. Now, what does the Chazon Ish say based on this? Says the Chazon Ish based on this, what's the principle? What's the principle? According to the, what's the principle? According to this, Chazon Ish is the principle is that one cover is not mutter, but two covers is. That's how he understands the principle. And therefore he says, a blech is not mutter shigia, because that's only one cover. That's how the Chazon Ish understands the principle of this Rashi and Tor.
Is there a third way to understand?
What?
Is there, that doesn't sound so different from...
Okay, so the principle is, according to the Chazon Ish, one cover is Usser, two covers is Mutter, and therefore... A blech is usser. That's clearly not the minhag olam, right? The minhag olam is to use a blech. So what's the alternative way to understand the principle? Anyone have an alternative way to understand what the problem of Rashi and the Torah was? The Chazon Ish understood one cover, that's usser. Only two covers is mutter. How might you understand the principle? Anyone have a different way of understanding the principle?
why does everyone use a blech then? I mean, the Chazon Ish says the blech doesn't help. Basically, the Chazon Ish says a blech is worthless.
That's Rashi in the Torah. We pass like Rashi in the Torah that even if you cover the fire, that's not like dousing the fire. That's not like Tumah. Only two covers is mutter.
I understand. Where's the fire? Is the on our ovens? There's
forget ovens. Let's say stoves.
Oh, talking about the fire.
Talking about stoves.
Oh, okay.
You only put a blech on a stove. You don't put a blech in the oven.
No. I know not in the oven, but I thought maybe then it covers like the heat of the oven. Use the heat of the oven on the blech. Only thing, the only heat that's on the blech is the stove top.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. So.
What do the other posts say? The other posts say, no, you misunderstood the principle of Rashi Mator. The principle is that the cover that is part of the regular stove, that's Osir. That's what Rashi Mator means. The cover that's part of the regular stove, that's Osir. But the cover that is,
in addition to
it. Right, that is not the usual part of the stove, that's mutter, in which case, since a blech is not, right, that's not the way, like, Americans use stoves, etc., that's really mutter. It means everyone else says that the Chazon Ish misunderstood this Rashi and Tor. We didn't mean that one cover is not good enough. Why should one cover be good enough? One cover is like a little like a little layer of ashes. He just meant that it has to be a special cover to show that you want to lessen this fire. If it's just the regular tour of this kli, that doesn't work, because that's just part of the regular way that sometimes people use this kli. That's just the normal tour of the kli. That doesn't work. You have to do something special that is an unusual way of using this kli in order to count as Grufa Ketuma, and that is the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam is against the Chazon Ish, is that yes, we hold up Rashi in the Tor, but it doesn't mean that one cover doesn't work. It means a cover that's a normal part of the Tor of this Kli doesn't work, because that's just a regular Kli. But a weird cover that is only something used by Orthodox Jews for their Sabbath, that works, because that is, that shows that you don't want to do Chitoy Bigechol.
And we've been learning this whole din as Mishum Heker, so that makes a lot of sense for the Shabbos.
Okay, so you're right. Zev was right, but nonetheless, let me come back then in a moment. Lemaisa, guess who among the Maimonides posted might possibly like the Rambam? Not such a hard guess. Ravadya Paskins like the Rambam, which is not surprising. says Ravadya. Says Ravadya, he paskins like the Rambam, and he says, we hold like the Rambam, that the Chazon Ish actually said the Rambam never even meant it. Never said this. Just a misunderstanding of the Rambam. He says, no, the Rambam says, only on an open fire. If the fire's not open, it's mutter. He says the principle is that any covering of the fire is mutter. He even, like the Rambam, he even goes so far as to say, even though the Chiddush Misvara, even if that's just the way it's built, that the fire is covered, let's say you have a kli where the fire is always covered. I've never had kelim like that in my kitchen, meaning all stoves, the fire is open, whether it's a gas stove or electric stove. Ovens that I've seen, the fire is also open. But let's say you have a kli that's built, let's say, for example, an electric plata, where there's, like, the fire's inside the kli, it's covered by, like, that box. Anytime the fire is covered, that's mutter.
Even stovetops, they have their electrical.
No, electrical stovetops, the fire is usually visible, right? Like, the fire is that disc, that circle, which is directly where you put your pot, no?
What about the stoves that are coils inside the glass on top?
What are the stovetops? Do the coils inside mean there's a glass covering of the
glass sheet?
There's a glass sheet on top of the heating element? Is that how it works?
Some of them.
Aha. So I don't know. I don't know what he'd say about glass. I don't think they had those in his days. Actually, his days are pretty recent. They must have had those in his days. I don't know. Maybe he'd say that the glass is different because you can see it. It's a good question. He says any covering of the fire is mutter. That is a bit of a chiddush that any covering of the fire is mutter. But that seems to be dying for the Rambam. Only if it's on the fire, any covering of the fire is mutter, even if it is totally just a normal tzura of that kli. Anytime the fire is covered is mutter. So we have three sheet, doesn't the mind be poskim. Rav Avadya says any covered fire is mutter. Most poskim say no. A cover that's a natural part of the kli doesn't count. Only an unusual special cover counts. And the Chazon Ish says a cover doesn't count. A cover is just like a fire. Only two covers counts. And the Chazon Ish and the Minhag Olam are based on the Rashi and Torah, and the Rav Avadya is based on the Rambam. Okay, now, I say Zev was right. We'll just have to say the Lundus now and then tie it back. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Lundus of Garf and Katum. Why is Garf and Katum mutter? Right? Here. Lomdos, but Lomdos with Nafkaminas. Why is it mutter if it's Garuf or Katum? Whenever we say Garuf and Katum, we only have Garuf and Katum, mean or. Okay, what does the Rambam say? I don't get a chance to see the Rambam. What?
Was that Mishum Hacker?
No. Oh, okay. Says the Rambam. Is that the Rambam here? Why is it mutter if you do Garuf or Katum? Says the Rambam. Sorry. Perek Gimel Alacha Dalid. He says, if Piklan Garuf Ha'esh O Kisa Eish Shakir Be'efer, but Oris Pesha Adaka, O Shimu Gachon Shari Inclus, Be'efer, Shiskur, Bekashi Glove, Glove, Him Adaka, Shari Inch, and Kol Boros, Harita Motel Shasala, why? Shari, he seeth Naikim Zed Tavshil. The Ain goes to Shemi Chata Be'esh. Because of Hesek Adas, meaning when you did the Garuf Ha'kotom, you took your mind off of it. It's like the Rechaisa. But not for the same reason. Because the Rechaisa, you took your mind off of it, you don't care till the morning. Here you took your mind off of it just because you took your mind off it. Basically, when you ruin the fire, what you're saying is, I don't care if it's a good fire or not. And once you say you don't care if it's a good fire or not, we're not afraid Shema Yavo, right, Shema Yechate, because we know you don't feel psychologically pressured. Right? So basically what you're doing is just doing something to show that you don't care if it's a good fire or not. That's the Rambam says, the Rambam Pesach Hadas.
Doesn't doing Shehiya like make it that you care about that? Like
no, I did Shehiya. I obviously wanted to be in this oven or stove or whatever.
I don't care.
But I don't care how hot it is. I don't care if it's a little hot or a lot hot. Because after all, I did Garuf HaKatum, right? So if I did Garuf HaKatum, then I obviously don't care about the quality of the fire. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramach in the Shapsi Frankel Rambams. You actually have the Hagos HaRamach. But in the old-fashioned Rambams, you only have him with almost all the times quoted by the Kesef Mishnah.
What Rambam is this?
Gimel Dalit. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramach, Kasser Ramach, Tzor Ion, Heichisiyach Daitu. He says what Aaron said. It's not a Hesradas. What do you mean? You want to eat it for dinner. If you want to eat it for dinner, how could it be Hesradas? Says that's just not true. He says, Milos, maybe that's the only food he has for dinner. How could you call it Hesradas? Right? Is what Aaron said. You're Mechamim to Ramach. Now, the Kesef Mishnah is back to the Rambam. No, Kimmel the Rabbanan, she calls the Garuf, may say it's like, no, the Rabbanan knew that it was Hesedadas. Fine, the Seder, what did the Ramach say? Rather, the Ovid Hecker. Okay, the Gersa is a little better in the Frankels, even the Kesef Mishnah here, and it's Mefurish in the Ramach or something. Because of Hecker, what does Hecker mean? That when I come to stoke the coals, I will see that I did something strange here. And it will remind me not to stoke the coals. So says the Ramach, Hecker. Because what's the difference? The Ramach says Hadas, it's that I won't even want to do Chitoy. Because I've already said I don't care. The Ramach says, that's not true, I do care. But I will see that it's Garuf HaKatum, and I'll say, hold on, it's Shabbos, I can't do Chitoy.
right? There's a reminder that will remind me not to do chitoy, meaning hes vadas. I won't want to do chitoy or heker. I will see that it's Shabbos and refrain from doing chitoy. Because after all, I'll say, hey, where are the coals? Ah, it's Shabbos. Hey, why are they doused with ashes? Ah, it's Shabbos. They have a machlokas l'shitasam. If you look at the Ramach on Perek Gimel Halacha Yud, they have a furish machlokas l'shitasam about the following interesting question. What about a taner garif katan? This is a nafkamina. Nafkamina is what about a taner garif katan? You don't have to say it this way, but the Rambam l'shitase says usher. Why? Because a taner, even garif katan, is so hot that that's what you would often do to get the right temperature so things won't burn, and you still want it to be very hot. The Ramach, and he's explicit that this is a function of this lumbus, the Ramach says, no, the reason is because of heker. Even in a taner, it's a heker. The Ramach says it's mutter, because there is a heker. You could have argued in the Metzias with either of these. The Ram says, usur, because you're not Nesiach Das. Meaning the Ram says, it's still hot enough that you haven't given up on it. So it's usur. The Ramach says, it might be hot, but you see that it's weird for Shabbos. You see that it's different because of Shabbos, so you'll notice it's a Shabbos, and you won't come to do chitoy. Now, what?
Where is the second machlokas?
Gimel Yud, in the Hagos Ramach. Is that also in the Kesem Mishnah? 1 second. Says the... Or, 1 second. Maybe am I... hold on a second. No, maybe I didn't mean that. I meant... Kasvar Gimel Vav. Kasvar Matzar. Gimel Hey. I apologize. Kasvar Matzar. Ema in Hey Hotziza. I apologize. Gimel Hey. Vulgar forgotten dog. It hacker. I feel the tanner. If there's a hacker, then it's always mutter. If there's a hacker, there should be no problem.
Is there a Gemara that says that garf and katan doesn't work for a taner?
No. What does the Mishnah say? Where's my... It's awfully close. I know a lot of Rishonim think that's what it means, but it's not mefurish, because what does the Mishnah actually say? The Mishnah actually says... Hataner, a taner is also, you can't do it. It does say explicitly what you can't do. Does that mean if it's not garf v'katam, or even if it is garf v'katam? So it's not explicit in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara does discuss. So you're right, the Gemara does say, or not the Gemara, but Rav Ad Bar Ava does say that even Garf Katam is Asr, but the Machlokes says, well, the whole like Rav Ad Bar Ava or not, because Rav Yosef seems to have held differently. So there's one Amor in the Gemara who says Tanit Asr, even Garf Katam, but not everyone agrees that we pass them like him, and that's the Machlokes we're showing here.
There are Masks of Tafsiyachin, though.
Pretty much, yeah. Yes. Another interesting nafkamina might be. Now, anyone want to bring me a raya for something on this board that would support the Rambam and not the Ramach?
Huvara,
right? That's a good raya for the Rambam. Even if it burns again. Hold on, where's the hacker? Right? So even if it burns again, where's the hacker? So, Huvara, for the Rambam, it's Nicha. It's a good raya. For the Ramach, this is difficult. Why is it Mutter if it burns again? Where Moshe Feinstein deals with this. And Rav Moshe Feinstein gives an answer, and he says that Rav Moshe Feinstein's answer is that, even if it's huvara, you can still see that it was katum. When you douse it with ashes and it bursts into flame again, you can still see the ashes. So, yes, it bursts into flame again, but you see that someone tried to douse it with ashes and you still notice that it's Shabbos. Here it's in Rav Moshe, that you can still see the ketima. So therefore, it's still a good hacker. Even though it burned again, it didn't erase the ketima. It just got hot again, but you still see the ketima. And Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to say nafka mina. We'll see. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually holds, something in between. He holds like the, his main nafka mina. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds like the chumers of both sides. He says you need a hacker of the Hesach Hadas. Meaning, you need to now see that you originally didn't want it to be so hot. Right? Like the chumers of both. And that's why he has to answer, right, for the Igros Moshe. He answered, right? He says, where's the hacker of the Hesach Hadas? The hacker is, you can still see it. And that's why his nafka mina, the fascinating nafka mina, he had the following question. What if you put a blech? Now, why does a blech work? Interestingly, why does a, let's think about it. Why does a blech work according to the Ramach? That makes a lot of sense, because it's a hacker, right? Why does a blech work according to the Rambam? Because what happens when you put a blech?
You can't adjust the gun as well.
No, what? It doesn't cook as well. It takes away some of the heat. Let's mention that in a second. Let's come back in a second.
We don't really cook on a blech.
What?
Do people cook on a blech?
You could. What if you...
There's an theory you could cook.
Yeah.
People do that.
I mean, people only use a blech for Shabbos. It's not something goyim use, right? But if your food's not cooked yet when Shabbos starts, you let it cook on the blech.
People do that?
Yeah, for sure. But here, let me ask you the obvious stuff.
Is Ande only doing that with things like chalon? No.
Yeah. What about a blech? Why is a blech, let's think about this for a second, why is a blech mutter? So a blech is mutter, according to the Rambam, because it lessens the heat. So it's a Hesach Hadas, right? If you put a blech, and you, as the Mechaber said, L'mayin Choman, right? If you put a blech, and obviously things don't cook so well on a blech, right? It dissipates the heat, it ruins the heat, right? All the heat's going in one thing, straight onto your pot, and now the blech wastes all the heat, and it's not so hot, so obviously you've shown that you don't want it to be so hot. According to the Ramach, it would be obvious why it's mutter. Mutter because, right? It's a hacker. Let me just ask an obvious question. And for Moshe, it would be because it's a hacker of lowering the heat. I don't mean lowering the heat, you turn the knob to low. Because turning the knob to low is not a Hesach Hadas. That's like a normal way of cooking. I mean, here you do something that really ruins the normal way of cooking and shows that you don't care. Now, what's an obvious nafka mina about what your blech should look like? Based on this chakira, what should your blech cover? According to the Ramach, what's the best thing for the blech to cover?
Anything.
The knobs or the knobs or the fire?
Knobs.
According to the Ramach, it makes the most sense to cover the knobs, right? Because the point is hecker that when you go to turn it up, you'll see that it's Shabbos and you're not supposed to turn it off, right? So it makes the most sense, according to the Ramach, to say, what's the hecker? The hecker should be when you go to turn it up, you'll see. So you might see what's on the fire, but you'll for sure see what's on the knobs. So then we would say that you should, the nafka mina is, cover the knobs. Anyone know which posik said the halacha is covering the knobs? You don't have to cover the fire, just the knobs?
Moshe.
No, Rav Aaron Cutler. This is Rav Aaron Cutler is famous for saying, you don't have to cover the fire, just cover the knobs. That's what a blech is. You don't have to put anything on the fire.
But we can
just cover the, if you cover the knobs, it'll remind you not to turn it off on Shabbos, right?
Then the Gemara would suggest you put a sign on your oven or something. Today is Shabbos. We don't cook.
So why didn't the Gemara just say put a... Okay, so you'd ask, why didn't the Gemara just say put a sign on your oven? So the answer is because in halacha, why didn't the Gemara just say put a sign in your oven?
Or cover your poker.
What?
Cover your poker.
Okay, so maybe those just weren't practical solutions. I mean, it's a great question. I hear the
time. I think it's exactly the same, though, because the cover on the knob is... A lot of times you're going to do something absent-mindedly. The sign isn't automatically... If you're not thinking...
Right, a sign is not as good as a cover on the knobs, perhaps. A sign is something external. People are used to not reading signs. Okay, maybe people didn't know how to read in those days.
They're clear how there is in the Gemara of how to make that heker.
You're right. In the Gemara, it really sounds a lot more... okay, so what you want to say is that even if it's we did heker, it maybe it has to be the heker in the Gemara. Right? Or you could say that it has to be the heker mentioned in the Gemara. So you want to deny your own color. Okay. If you hold like the side of heker, the simple shot. One way is to go to your own color, say cover the knobs. However, you could deny it and say even if it's a heker, it's not enough gemina. You still have to do a heker that's similar to what was in the Gemara, and in the Gemara was covering the fire. If you, however, saw it as hesek hadas, then poshut, what should you have to cover? Hesek hadas means, oh, I ruined the fire so it doesn't cook so well, which shows that I don't really want a good fire. So then obviously, you'd have to cover the flame, right? That is the minhag olam, right? The minhag olam from most blechs that I've seen, minhag rov olam, is that it just covers the flame, right? It doesn't cover the knobs. Most blechs that I've seen, and this is what the Orcha Shabbos quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Right, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, look what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. It says you do something to lower the heat. What does lowering the heat have to do with covering the knobs? Lowering the heat has to do with making the heat a bad heat. That's covering the flame. What does Rav Moshe Feinstein say? Anyone know what Rav Moshe Feinstein says? Rav Moshe Feinstein says Rav Moshe, he says you need a heker of the hesek hadas. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, you should cover the flame, because why? The flame is a hesek hadas, and when you come to stoke the coals, you'll see that you covered the flame. But, says Rav Moshe, since he does believe there's an inyan of heker also, says cover the flame, and lechatchila, also the knobs. He says even though the ikker is the heker of covering the flame. That's the ikker. The heker of covering the flame. That you see the flame is covered. You'll see a blech on the flame. He says, but since I do hold from the idea of heker, even though I see the heker in the concept of hesek hadas, therefore I think the ikker is the flame, because that's the heker of hesek hadas. But once I admit to the idea of heker, it's proper lechatchila to also cover the knobs, so that's the best heker in the world, and then you'll say every possible heker. And that's those who follow Rav Moshe cover the knobs and the flame. Although he admits, the knobs is just lechatchila, it's not me a credit.
In Likud, they put their pot on fire. They're like, mamash.
In Likud Talmidim of Aaron Cutler?
Yes.
Do they just put their pot on the fire and only cover the knobs?
Is he saying a kula? Or he's really going to say a chumra?
It's not clear to me, because I haven't seen it inside directly from him. I'm not sure if it is someplace. I saw it in the Makor sheet, in the footnote of Rav Iger, he quotes him. Most of the Israeli farm don't quote him, because Rav Aaron Cutler's America, and this is not like written in any place obvious, so they don't, they're not holding it. Most of the Israeli farm don't even quote a sheet like this at all. And not because they disrespect Rav Aaron Cutler, but because it's someone from America, and it's not written in a very accessible place, so they don't notice it. the Maisa, these are the three shitas. The Minig Olam's like Rav Shlomo Zalman, just to cover the flame. The, I don't know what the people do in Lakewood, you have to ask them, or Aaron Cutler's. What?
I'm going to try to find
out. Okay, the Aaron Cutler says, no, it's covering the knobs, that's the hecker. It's not clear to me whether he says you can pick either or not. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, really, the Iker's covering the flames, that's a hecker of the Hesgadas. But preferably you should also cover the knobs. Rav Moshe also has one interesting nafkamina he discusses. He says, what about this case? What if you put a blech on Friday, and then it got knocked off? You put a blech on, and then the blech got knocked off and fell off somehow. Is that good enough, that you put a blech on Friday? So Rav Moshe basically says, I can stick something in here, but says Rav Moshe, what if you put a blech and it fell off? Says Rav Moshe, based on the idea of hecker, Rav Moshe, someone asked Rav Moshe, says, well, it should be just like Kitma Behuper, it should be mutter. Right? Should be mutter. After all, you had a Hezekadas. Who cares if someone knocked off a blech? You have a Hezekadas. Rav Moshe says, no, we pasken hecker. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, usher, and that's why he says it's not like Kitma Behuver. A Kitma Behuver is only mutter because you can still see the ashes. There's still a hecker. Yeah, it burnt through the ashes, but you can still see some of the ashes. But if the blech fell off, then it's usher, there's no hecker anymore.
I thought also that Rav Moshe said that if one put a blech on before Shabbos, and then while the blech's on, turned it just to the flame, that also would not serve as a hecker.
Ah, that's an interesting one. I don't remember if that was in Rav Moshe or some of the other poskim. What if you put a blech on and then adjusted the flame? Maybe that would take away the Hezchadas, right? It's not hecker, it's a good hecker. Does anyone have the Dirsha? The Dirsha quotes that. That's an interesting nafkamina. That's a very, very good point. Let's see if I can find it quickly enough. Here's this Rav Moshe, fine. He quotes it Rav Shlomo Zalman. This is good Lishitase. He quotes here in the Dirshu, quotes from Shlomo Zalman. He quotes from in the old version of Shmir Shabbos Kol Sa'ar, I have to find in the new one. But this is, he makes it sound like, right? In the Dirshu, that Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, if it fell off, it's still okay, because once you put it on, you had Hezekadas, which makes sense if you're purely based on Hezekadas. If you put on the blech, even if it fell off, you still have Hezekadas, so it's still no problem. That's not what Rafi was saying. What Rafi was saying was, I thought that was a Rav Yoshev.
I assume
it was
Rav Shlomo Zalman.
What?
I didn't see it here in Rav Shlomo Zalman.
Oh, you found it in the, what's it called?
Yeah.
Read me what it says there. Okay, great. What does Rav Shlomo Zalman say? He says that if you adjust the flame after you put on the blech, that's no good. Why? Because you no longer have a hesek hadas, because you didn't like ruin the flame. You like fixed it up again. Right? Okay, that's a bit of a chiddush. But that's also great nafkamina. Anyone have a Shmir Shabbos? All right. He suggests another nafkamina. The what if you put on the blech and then raise the flame? So, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's usher. Why? You just lost your hesek hadas. What do you mean? Well, how can you call it a Hesek Hadas if you then bothered to turn up the flame once the blech was there? That shows you that the last thing you did shows you do want a good fire. Clearly, according to Ramach, that would be no problem. Ryan Cutler would say it's not a problem because you still have a hecker. Right? Even so, Rav Shlomo Zalman is a bit of a chiddush. You could say it's still a Hesek Hadas, but all right, that is a nice nafkamina. Okay, were there any other nafkaminas I wanted to say here? Okay. L'maisa, the minhag olam, is, I think, more on the Rosh Shlomo Zalman side of... there are certainly somewhere between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman that the minhag olam is not like a round cutler. The minhag olam is not like a round cutler. The minhag rov poskim is that it's a matter of heschadas. Here Rav Moshe adds heker. The mainstream is that it's a matter of heschadas, and therefore we cover the flame. It's a chumra to also cover the knobs. But the ikar is to cover the flame, and the mainstream minhag olam is just to cover the flame like Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's the mainstream psak. Is that it's a, and even according to Moshe, it's Me'ikr did enough to cover the flame. The mainstream sock is that it's Midin Heschadas, that the point of a blech is not to remind you when you're about to turn it up, you see that it's Shabbos, but to make a Heschadas that in the first place, once you put the blech on, you're not really cooking, you don't really want a good fire, you're just like leaving it in Shabbos mode and you're not worrying about it. You know, it's like to have the feeling of, you know, Kamalach Kasuya. Yeah, Sisa Kamalach Techa. Now it doesn't matter anymore. That's the mainstream. Zach.
Isn't the Heter of Keter Achaita a great raya for the Rambam?
No, because just the Heter of Keter Achaita could be for one reason, the Heter of Garfield Cotton could be for a different reason. The two Eterim could be for two different reasons. Just because one Heter has one reason doesn't mean the other Heter is for that reason. Okay. Maybe each Heter is for a different reason. So I don't think that's right. Okay, so that's a little bit about... Garuf vit katum. I guess going back to Chazan Ish and Shar Poskim Rav Avadya, you know, like what about a cover? So I think the mainstream sock, the any unusual cover works. Probably could make sense both ways. Why? Because mitzad hecker, an unusual cover is a hecker, and mitzad heschadas. If you put an unusual cover, which is not a normal thing to do, you're showing you don't want a normal flame. If you just do something that's a normal thing, then maybe you're showing you do want a normal flame. So I think that mainstream sock of the shar poskim could work for either side of the chakira. The other ones are tricky. The Chazan Ish, both Chazan Ish and Rav Avadya, are not so great misvara. Like, why would you dafka need two kisuyim if it's a matter of lowering the flame? One kisuyim lowers the flame, two kisuyim lower the flame twice as much. And if it's a matter of being unusual, then one unusual kisuyim is good enough. L'chor, the Chazan Ish, you just have to say, is a technicality, a low plug of how they made the gzeira. That when they made the gzeira, they said, you have to add... they said one covering's not good enough because sometimes they used to cook with one covering, so they just made a little plug that one covering's not good enough. And for Avadya is also funny. Why would any covering be mutter, even if that's the normal way to cook? Right? That's not a heschadas, and that's also not a hecker. So lemaisa, back to this, it doesn't seem to be enough gamina var chakira. The mainstream tzak halacha works according to both Tzad and Var Chakira, and the Chazan Ish and Rav Avadya don't really work so well according to either Tzad. You just have to say, okay, that's the way they made the Gzeira. You just have to say that's the way they made the Gzeira. What's the Svara? Here the Svara is. Just say, the Svara is either Mitzad Hesach Hadas or Mitzad Heker. Right? It's a good svara. You could say, look, the usual covering is not a hecker. An unusual covering is a hecker. Or a usual covering is not heschadas. That's a usual thing to do. It's an unusual covering. That's heschadas. Mitzad has an issue. You just have to say, I think, that the svara is kach teknu. And for Vavadya, maybe what you have to say is that...
Doesn't it have to be a substantial lowering of the flame in order to...
No, I don't think it has to be a substantial. That's a kit makoldu. Just has to be a symbolic lowering of the flame. It doesn't have to be substantial. Just symbolic. Because it's all in your psychology. As long as I lower a kol shehu, that should be enough.
Koldu,
yes. I feel a kit makoldu.
For everything. That's. It's...
I know. So you have to put a blech on all the burners. But even if the blech definitely lowers the heat. Even if it only lowers the heat 2 degrees, that's good enough. For Avadya, his svar is not so clear, meaning mitzad hecker, you should need to do something weird, not just have a covered fire. Mitzad hesgadas, you should need to do something weird, not just have a covered fire. L'chora, his svar is
is what is this svara that any covered fire is good, even if that's the way the oven's built? If the fire is covered or avadya, that's good enough. Okay.
What we hear from the fundamental is my black would be auster is because it doesn't really matter the home so much. So
oh, really?
That's what they say back over here.
Uh-huh, okay, I have to bring my cousin
in. Why is it not, if you put it on top of the cover, even if that's where the oven's built, it's still showing that instead of putting it in the oven itself, you want it to be less of a heat than that.
This is an actual quote.
Huh? You're talking about in the oven, or is it in the oven?
What? That's right.
You go on the top of the...
So the svar of the Chazanish that even if it's a hacker, it's not such a good hesagadas. That's what he quotes from the Shmir Shabbos. Okay, so maybe that's a better svar. Although it's a little funny based on what I said to Zev. Okay, we're going to leave this a little bit, sorry, Ian, for now.
Is
better than one cover. Maybe the Chazanish, as far as you mean, has chadas, and one cover is not such as chadas, because it doesn't lower the flame enough. Maybe that's as far as the Chazanish. Okay, maybe this, maybe the story of Avadi is just that you can't stoke if it's covered. But then it's not really the same as Kitma. It could be the svara of Avadya is that it's not really in Gar for Kutzim. It's really just a different thing. They weren't gozer and covered fire because you can't stoke the coals.
I could ask this question when we get up to it, but isn't Tanner going to be an issue according to anyone that learns Hecker?
It's a good thing that we don't pass like the Heckerts. You're saying how about someone like Reverend Cutler? What's he going to say about Tanner? No, he has a way out. He'll say that in Tanner, it was normal to be Gorfa Kotein in order to get the right temperature, and therefore it's not even a hecker.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So this is a bit of a lumdus about. About Gorfa Kotein. What's the soda, the heter of Gorfa Kotein? And Lamaitz, the biggest nafkmin is what does your blech have to cover? Right? And this is the Iker Din Psak Halacha Minig Olam, is to cover the flame. Covering the knobs is really a is really a chumrah. And Reverend Cutler, we don't really paskin like it. There's some people sometimes are makel.
You're saying there might be people in Lakewood who don't follow that?
Yeah. But that's not the mainstream sakalacha. Okay, that's a bit of garifakatum. What else do we have? Let's continue in the Shulchan Aruch then. Continuing in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, I'm not going to give you the help. Even if it's not grufa ktuma, mutter lismoch lakadei rabasama chutzla smicha. Smicha is mutter. What does smicha mean? Let's just the Gemara has a holy baya, and the maskan is that smicha is mutter. There are two normal ways and one abnormal way to put your pot in a kira. Here are three kiras. Each kira, it has a fire. What are the three places to put your pots? One way is called betocha. Betocha. One way is put your pot al gamba, right? Those are two normal ways to cook. However, a not normal way to cook is to put your pot next to it. This is called smicha. It's not a very good way to cook, because you see, it doesn't really get the main heat.
Now, it's probably better than doing smicha to our modern day ovens, because our modern day ovens are probably well insulated and you won't get much heat at all through smicha. Well, maybe a gross oven. What if it's sitting next to the gross oven? It would get some heat.
Melts your appliances.
Melts your appliances, right, okay. So, what do you put it next to the, most people have built an oven anyway, there's no room next to it. Say you put it next to the gross oven. So that would be smicha. You could cook a little, maybe, bon agid. It's enough to melt your appliances. So what about smicha? So we paskin that smicha is mutter. There's no gzeira on smicha. Since that's not the normal way to leave things, there's no gzeira on smicha. We're not afraid of shemichate, since you're not leaving it to cook in the normal way. Here we have a bit of a machlokas in the Magen Avraham. He says, what about, we'll really get to this a little bit later, we'll try to bring rayas back and forth, but the Mishnah Brura, this is the Magen Avraham, hey, and the Mishnah Brura, Sifkatan, Tesvav. What about Chazara? What about Chazara? So here the Mishnah Brura summarized. We'll really get to it later. We'll come back to it later. what about Chazara? So, says the Magen Avraham, Ve'im achzirin li olim ela gavikiu grufu ptuma v'chol shein machzirin lo ve'in somplu b'shavas aikam lashon Rambam. He says, it sounds like, according to the Rambam, according to the Sfaradim, or like the Chachamim, smicha only works, remember, the Chachamim say, l'shahostan, Mishnah was about Shehiyah, the whole story is about Shehiyah, smicha only works for Shehiyah, doesn't work for Chazara. Mash v'shavas asho l'smei yugufu, the Yibayim Yerlo, havi yal be'erv shavas, v'ayim b'ayim mishnah, kez mishnah, v'rif ayin shavol. So Rashni Ashuri, afilu b'shavas, k'mo sheh, kasav ramah, sof, simen zeh. So he says, here's... All right, let's look in the Mishnah Brura. It's a little complicated, maybe we really will. come back to it. One second. The Magen Avraham says, according to the first daya, it's asur b'somech on Shabbos, and according to the second daya, it's mutar b'somech on Shabbos. First daya meaning mechaber chachamim, second daya meaning Ramah Chananya. Says the Magen Avraham, what about smicha b'Shabbos? So he says, according to daya aleph, which is chachamim, sfardim, it is Asar, according to Dea Beis, which is Hananya. And Ashkenazim, it is Mutter. That's what the Magen Avraham says. There's a big machlok zachronim, what he means. That's the Mishnah Brura. He quotes the achronim, the Rabbi Kiva Eger versus the Dugelmer Vava.
Isn't Rav Avadya's psak, I remember learning this years ago.
We'll get to that.
The reason he says you can put something on a plaque is because it's considered so much al ish. It's not really...
Yes, but we'll have to get there a little more indirectly. Okay, here...
According to David, is even on cure is fine.
No, lahach sertan. This is, it's not grufuk tuma, right? Lahach sertan. You can't do lahach sertan if it's not grufuk tuma.
Oh,
right, we're talking about on Shabbos. Oh, okay. The big question is, what was the machlokas here? What did he mean on Shabbos? Because we know there are two different cases. The Mishnah Brura and the Achronim nicknamed two different cases on Shabbos, which is really just here is more foreshadowing what we see in Sif Beis. But there's an Isser called Lahachzer on Shabbos. There are two isurim. There's the isur called chazara. Chazara means that, or there's a case called chazara. Chazara means putting, taking off the fire
holding it and putting back on the fire. Even according to Hananya, Chazara is only mutter if what? Grufu Tuma. Right? And the halacha is mutter rak be hira Grufa Uktuma. Then there's another Isser. This is not found at all in this Lashon in the Gemara, but the Lashon of the Achronim is Hanacha L'Chakila. Hanacha L'Chakila is putting on the fire Stam from the fridge. I know they didn't have a fridge.
This thing spelled the non-word fridge?
I think so. Putting on the fire from the fridge. That's Hanacha L'Chakila. It's not Chazor. You're not putting it back. You're putting it there for the first time. Now, you're asking me exactly where to draw the line. That's a whole sif beis. Like, do you have to keep it in your hand the whole time to be called Chazor and Hanacha L'Chakila? Is it enough to just have thought you were going to put it back soon? We'll get to that. What did Hanacha L'Chakila usher? Afilu Algabe, or Be is all the same. Algabe Kira Grufa. Let's say Algabe Grufa Uktuma. Right, that's the halacha we know. If you have a blech, not Ravadir for now. If you have a blech, you're allowed to take things off the blech, hold them in your hand and put them back. Right? Anyone ever go to Moko? Remember the midnight cholent? You never served the midnight cholent at Moko? Take the cholent pot off, hold it in your hands, serve the midnight cholent, and put it back. But Hanacha, and that's okay because there was a blech on the stove. I guess everyone goes to sleep earlier in Moko nowadays.
We don't go to Moko.
Really? No, it can't be. Then how are you going to enjoy Yom Hazeh if you don't learn in Moko?
When were you there?
It's a long time ago. Not the last time I visited, but as an actual camper in Moko.
Was there?
Summer of camper in Moko. I was in Moko the summer of 90. Summer of 90, I was in Moko.
Rabbi
Samuel
was there?
Yeah, Vada. Yeah. That was what made it such a holy place. He wasn't the only holy person there. Gedalia Hachberg, another
Chashev
Yidden. No. I don't think so then. But I'm not sure. Anyway, Lemais, there are two things, Chazar and Hanacha L'Chakila. What is the Magen Avraham talking about here is a big, big, big machlokas. Between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Dogma Mervava on this Magen Avraham. Said Rabbi Akiva Eger, Magen Avraham lefi Rabbi Akiva Eger and Dogel Mervava. Dea Aleph and Dea Bet. What was he saying about Dea Aleph and Dea Bet? Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, according to Dea Aleph, Chazara is Asura. According to Dea Bet, Chazara is Muteres, but Hanacha L'Chakila is Asura. Meaning, he was talking about Chazara, says Rabbi Akiva Eger. According to the first day of first Sfaradim, even Chazara is Asur and Smicha. According to Ashkenazim, Chazara is Mutter and Smicha, but Hanacha L'Chakila is Asur. According to the Dogma Rvava, though, what was the Magen Avraham talking about? Nah, he wasn't talking about Chazara. He was talking about Hanacha L'Chakila. When he says, this Shabbos. What does this mean, this Shabbos? Machlokes. Rabbi Akiva Eger and Dogel Mervava. He says, no, everyone agrees Chazara is Muteres, but they're arguing that Hanacha L'Chakila is Asura according to the first day, and according to the second day, Afilu Hanacha L'Chakila Muteres. Meaning, the Nafkamina is for those of us who are Ashkenazim, follow the second day, right? What can we do on Shabbos B'Smicha? Let's say you left your gross oven on. It's not Garuf HaKatum. Or even if it is Garuf HaKatum, this may be different enough, but you left your gross oven on, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, you can take it off the fire and put it next to your gross oven without Garuf HaKatum, but you can't take it from the fridge and put it next to your gross oven. You can even take it out of your fridge and put it next to your gross oven.
Okay, who do we paskin like? We'll get back to when we get to Hanachla. And really when we get to Sikhei. Okay, so this is a bit of an aside. It's not really about Shahia. This is a bit of a tangent.
This is uncooked food. Right,
no, chas v'shalom.
Whoa.
So what's the
chit? Hold on a second. Step back. Whenever we talk about chazara, chas v'shalom, that we're talking about uncooked food for chazara. Why? So I take uncooked food off the stove and put it back. What have I done?
Bishul.
I've done bishul, the Shabbos, maybe even bishul d'oraisa, if it was a weird chomshish from bishul d'oraisa if it wasn't fully cooked, right? There's no havina giving chazara an uncooked food. It's cooked food that's an issur chazara.
So we're talking about liquids?
No!
What's the you could do chazara for?
No, you can't. Only for gar v'katan. No, I mean, even if it's, if it's not gar v'katan. Chazara muteres. That's the question. Chazara asura unless it's gar v'katan. That's the chish. The chiddush is, we're going to say chazar muteris, even without garf v'katam, chazar muteris, right? Even if it's not garf v'katam. Meaning if it's not garf v'katam, right? Let's just say it better. Chazara asura. Not garif v'katam. That's the chiddush, right? But no one is having to matter in bishul. We're not talking about bishul here. We're talking about chazara. Chazara means things that are fully cooked and dry, or fully cooked and liquid and hot, right? We're only talking about chazara. So the chiddush is, the question is, what is the magna from being makelin? He's makelin chazara even if it's not garif v'katam. Normally you need garif v'katam. And Rabbi Kivik says, now that's the kuli alma. What he's really being making, according to Ashkenazim, is even hanocha lechachila. Meaning you could take it out of your fridge and put it next to your gross oven. Let us continue then in the Ramah. Says the Ramah, continuing the Mechavim, huska bekasha v'gvava motul sha'asa lafila eina lo grufa v'lo ketuma. This is the last kula, the last heter in our Sif. The last heter in our sif is something which is not at all relevant nowadays. We have anything like it at all. Huska bekash ugvava. Okay, there's a whole dion. If you notice, there's a stira between the Rambam and the Yerushalmi about how we paskin about the difference between different kinds of dung that the Mishnah Berurah uses up here someplace. Gloli behemagasa, gloli behemadaka. Oh, it's not relevant to us. This is not relevant. Why is kasha gvava mutter?
There's no coals.
Because there's no coals, it dies out right away, it disappears. It's such a bad fuel that there's nothing to stoke. Okay, that's not relevant. Not practical to Bisman Hazek, because we don't have such bad fuel sources. That would be like, I don't know, if you took your oven, instead of turning your oven on, you put like newspapers in and burn them. Okay, that would be kasha gvava. Right, that's literally kashu gvava. That's not newspapers, obviously, right? But it's like straw and leaves and stalks that you gather. You know, that's okay, but that's no one does that nowadays. So it's not really relevant to us. Let us continue in the Ramah then. Shnei kirot hamatimot zoitz also. This is a Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin. Two kirot that are next to each other, like basically you make a. All their kiras, right? I've been drawing all the kiras wrong. A kira really had room for two, right? So now, what if you have two kiras next to each other? The dovin shel cheres b'neihem, there's a wall in between them, right? So not like a normal kira. Normally, in their days, a kira looked like this, and a kupach looked like this. The case of shtei kiras hamatimos is something that was not typically there. It was this. And what was the unique case? V'dovet shalcheres b'neihem, ha'achas grufa k'tuma, v'ashniyah eina grufa k'tuma. Much of the shasal grufa k'tuma, aflisha mozav hetlon she'eina grufa k'tuma. This is grufa k'tuma. This is not grufa k'tuma, or kira's grufa k'tuma, not grufa k'tuma. So, you are It's mutter to put a pot here, it's usher to put a pot there. What's the chiddush? Even though when you put a pot on the grufa ktuma, it's also getting heated by the non-grufa ktuma. But since it's smicha to the non-grufa ktuma, smicha is okay. Right? So this is mutter because it's algabe grufa ktuma, and it's smicha to ain't a grufa ktuma. So it's on top of grufa ktuma, that's okay. And it's only next to the ain't a grufa ktuma, so that's also okay. Because smicha is mutter even without grufa u ketuma. Okay, the I think that is good enough for this case. Now, and 1 second. Yeah, I just want to mention, if I can go a little bit out of order, two other heterim that are not found in this set for the Shulchan Aruch. Agav, okay, while we're talking about smicha, right, really, Brahma, here, came back to smicha. I'll point out one other thing about smicha. This is what Moshe says. What if you have, this is very common, if you have a blech at home. Now, I'm not very good at, okay, I'm going to do a side view. So a side view, let's assume every stove has two burners. Right? They usually have four, but I don't know how to do like a side view at the angle, whatever, okay? So here's a side view of a stove. Here is my stove. Here is a burner and a burner. And let's say this one is off and this one is on. And here's the blech. So, if I put a pot here, that's clearly called algabe ha'ish, right? Well, what if I put a pot on the other side of the blech? What if I put a pot here? Is this called algabav or smicha? What about the other part of the blech? Is that called agave or smicha? On the one hand, you could say it's called smicha because it's only next to the fire. On the other hand, you could say there's no wall dividing here from here. Meaning it's not like this case where there's a wall dividing them. Right? Meaning, why did the Rama say Shnei Kiyus HaMathiyuzo the Dofen Shalcheres Beinehem? Right? So, this is an interesting question. Is this called smicha or is this not called smicha? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Where was this? Okay, someplace. Give me 1 second. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Says it's called algabav, and there's no heter of smicha, and it's not called smicha. Now, what's the nafkamina? You have a blech anyway, right? The nafkamina is for hanocha lechachila, according to the Dagon Merval, right? So he says this is called algabav, not samach. Why? Because there's no wall between the two places. It's only called smicha if there's a wall in between them. That's called smicha. If there's no wall in between them, that's not called smicha. That's called algabe ha'ish. No, because it's garf v'katzim anyway, so it's okay. It's not enough gemina.
According to the
Da'ala. Correct, but we don't hold that way. You're right, but for Ashkenazim, we hold like Deyabet, so we don't worry about that. I mean, it's clear all over the Ramah that we hold like Deyabet.
But I thought for the Dogon Merval, according to the Deyabet, Hanachalot Hatzkila is Teres.
Yeah, so that's what I said. According to the Dogon Merval, Nafmina, can you put Lechatchila on the other side of the Blech? And his answer is no. Okay, again, the napkin is subtle here, but that's where most of your soda, that it's only called smicha if it's on the other side of a wall. If it's not on the other side of the wall, if there's no wall, then that's not called smicha. That's where Moshe skips. The yisod of Rav Moshe is, what's the yisod of Rav Moshe? The yisod is, smicha means, or the yisod of Rav Moshe is that? Exactly. It's only called smicha if it is separated by a wall.
Where does the wall need to be? For Moshe, could there be technically a wall between two fires beneath the flesh, or is that above the flesh?
That is a great question.
A clear, distinct area between the two fires. Like why? Like why isn't even a space between the two considered a open?
So the heat of one does affect the other, even though.
No, that's true. Even the steak here at Hamatimot, right? That the heat of one affects the other. Let me think about that for a second. Alright, let me bring in the remotion next time. And maybe we will delve into a little more. Alright, what do we... let's briefly at least start looking at the next line in the Mechaber. Okay, now we have basically... Oh, sorry. There's one other thing that I wanted to mention. Okay, the hour's late. I'll just briefly mention two things. There are two other cases which might be Heterim of Shehiyah, which are now found in this Sefer Shulchan Aruch. What are those two cases? One is a Mefurish Gemara and a later Sefer of Shulchan Aruch. If you just flip in your Shulchan Aruch for a moment to Simin Reish and Dalet. Now this is a one second, where am I? Oh, six pages. If you look at the Ramban Rishon and Dalet, alright, it says, the tanner is sealed with clay. Hakol shari, everything's mutter. And on an open fire, everything is usher. Okay. What does the Ramah just say? Tanner tuach betit. Hakol shari. then the Mechaber Beikaron agrees. This is based on the Gemara Daf Yud Ches. Has a heter called... let's see if I want to explain this. For a second. Get into this machlokes b'chaber norma. Okay, let me start with something else then. Rav Moshe says in the part they put from the short answers for Rav Eider in Os Chaf Beis, he has a chiddush which makes a lot of sense. Says Rav Moshe, there's one kind of kli which shehiyah should be mutter, and there should be no chash of shemei chata at all. Can anyone think of what kind of kli there's for sure no chash of shemei chata? Because not all platas, just our platas. Because
there's no knobs.
They're not adjustable. It says Rav Moshe, if something's not adjustable, there can't be a gzeira of shemei chata. Now in America, like goyim, if you go to goyim stores, they sell hot plates that are adjustable. When I first got married, I bought a hot plate. They didn't sell the Israeli hot plates in America then. They only sold like regular, like caterer hot plates. And it was adjustable. It had a knob. There were three settings. One dot, two dots, and three dots, I think, were the three settings. I assume three dots was the hottest, but I never really checked. but our hot plates are not adjustable, right? The Israeli hot plates are not adjustable. Like, what do you mean, hot plates? There's no way to turn them up or down. Not only that, what else is not adjustable? So, says Rav Moshe.
Non-adjustable heat is mutter, says Rav Moshe.
A non-adjustable heat is mutter. Why? Because there's no shemei chata, such as a plata, such as a plata, right?
G, for example, a plata.
Now, the Orcha Shabbos in Perik Beis Halacha Yud Gimel quotes El Yoshev, who disagreed with his heter. He said there's an issue of shahia even on a plata. Because it's just a low plug. But
is it Ramosha saying that the Israeli style hot plate that you just plug
there's
in?
There's no issue of shahia.
You can actually put it back.
I'm not talking about shahia yet.
Oh, sorry.
There's no issue of shahia because there's no shemi chata. Rabbi Yashiv disagrees, but most posts agree with Rav Moshe on this. Right? So Rebbe Yashiv says Aser, but most posts will agree with Rebbe Moshe on this, that if there's no Shem Yichat at all, there's nothing to talk about. Like, how could there be a chash of Shem Yichat if there's no way to turn it up or down?
Is it Rufa or
Juma? No, it's just no Shem Yichat.
Where's the heat? There's a sheet on top.
I know, but only Ravadia holds that helps, right? We hold that the normal way the cleaves work. But it's just, it's not adjustable. Meaning an adjustable hot plate, he would aser, even though the heat is covered. Because that's the tzur of the cleave, that's the normal way. Yes. But in that, now, he has a hot, you know, almost, remember the difference between American urns and Israeli urns? Israeli urns are adjustable, right? They have two switches, Ritzichan and Shabbat, right? Ritzichan and Shabbat are low and high.
Ah, so that should be adjustable.
So that's adjustable. But what about American urns? American urns, you remember American urns? You just plug them in. There's no, they're not even one switch. Either it's plugged in or it's not, right? It's not adjustable. So Rav Moshe almost has a havin in matter American urns.
For what?
Shehiya. Question is, can you put up your urn right as Shabbos starts? What?
You're saying the water is not boiled yet. So
right. In Israeli urns, how do they work? They have two switches. Shabbat means keep warm and Ritichah means boil. So what do? Before Shabbat, we turn on the Riticha. In 10 minutes, it boils. Then we leave it on Shabbat, all Shabbat. So that's okay because it is Mevushal Kol Tzarko Mitzamek Varalo. Right? So in Israel, if you boil it beforehand, it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko Mitzamek Varalo. That's why it's mutter.
I thought the Shabbat setting boils it and then keeps it at, like, just under or at boiling, or just under so that you don't lose water, too much water.
I don't know what it does, but let me ask the following. Okay. Lemaisa, so here, what about an urn?
Yes, but it'll take a long time.
Yeah. Israeli urns, why do Israeli urns have two settings? Because they know you want to keep it hot all Shabbat, but you want to boil it quickly before Shabbat. Maybe just for convenience, you want to boil it quickly before Shabbat, or maybe for halachic reasons, because you want to be in Voshe Gold Sarkum and Samuk Varalo.
Well, sometimes you want to boil it when it's not Shabbat also.
Right, that's true. Sometimes it's a weekday. You just want to boil it. You don't want to wait an hour. American urns are only the Shabbat setting. They're only a low heat. It takes a long time to boil them in an American urn.
Okay.
Well, if it was a high heat, it would boil out.
Right.
Right? So, the question is, what about, is there a heter of Shehiya American urns? What about American urns? Now, if it's already boiled, of course it's mutter, because it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko, right? What about American urns if it's not boiled before Shabbos? Right, that's the real suffix. What about American urns if it's not boiled before Shabbos? So what would you expect Rav Moshe to say? Mutter, because it's not adjustable, there's no Shemi Yechate, right? But Lemaisa, he's machmer anyway. Why is he machmer anyway? But Aser, because even though there's no Shemi Echata, there's a different chash. You might take a cup of water, and when you take a cup of water, you cause the rest of the water to boil quicker. This is a chiddush that we're chosish for that.
Usually
you wouldn't take a cup of water until it was all boiled.
Yeah.
But maybe you're not sure, so you take a cup of water,
And it's not really boiled, so you make it boil quicker.
If it's already Shabbat, you're not going to be taking the water.
Why not?
Because you're not going to drink anything until you make Kiddush, until it's...
Okay, all good questions. All good questions. I hear the Taina. But Lemaisa says the Igros Moshe, Aser, at least, if it's not Yad Soledis Bo yet, because you might take some water, which is Psik Resha of Kira Bishel. Alright, that's the Chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a big Chiddush. We would expect him to matter American Urns Lagamri. We expect him to matter his American Urns Lagamri. But his Chiddush is that if it's at least, if it's not Yasso Lettuce Boat, because remember, he said once Yasso Lettuce Boat, there's no problem. They can cook more. Says Rav Moshe, he has this big chiddush that even though you would think he would matter American urns and hot plates, he really only matters non-adjustable hot plates and non-American urns. Because by American urns, he has a different chash. His different chash by American urns is that you that you might take out a cup of water, which is a psik resha, of causing the rest of the water to boil faster. Because right, the less water there is, the faster it boils. And that would be an Issur D'oraisa of Bishul. And even though we don't find explicitly in Shas that they were choshesh for this, he is choshesh nonetheless, because the Gemara Daf Yuches Amud Beis says, Gzeira Shemi Yechate. They say, what about a case where there's no chitoy? Gzeira Shemi Yagis, maybe you'll stir it. What's also about stirring? Make it cook quicker. So therefore he sees that the Gzeira Shemi Yechate is not only for chitoy, where also goes there, you might cause it to cook faster, which is a rare case. That you might cause it to cook faster. But that in an urn where it's very easy to take water out by just pressing that spigot, he is mechadish this gzeira. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, if you have a hot plate, you can do whatever shahir you want. Put raw cholent on a hot plate and let it slow cook all Shabbos long. Right? Even if it's 10% cooked. But when it comes to an urn, just to summarize urns, if it is an Israeli urn, then you can't put it up right when Shabbos starts, because Shemi Yechata, you might raise the temperature and turn on the Ritzicha switch. You'll forget it's Shabbos, you'll turn on the Ritzicha switch. If it's an American urn, then Rav Moshe says also you can't just put it up a little before Shabbos, because you might take some water out. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, whether you have an Israeli urn or an American urn, you should make sure to boil it before Shabbos, so that there's no problem with shahia. For an Israeli urn, that's very easy. Just turn on the Ritzicha switch 10 minutes before Shabbos and it's boiled. For an American urn, that means, Rosh says you should plug in an hour before Shabbos. So that'll be nice and boiled by the time Shabbos comes, and you won't have any problem of shahia. Okay, we'll have to continue. Amir Tzashem, what day is today?
Tuesday.
Okay, we'll have to continue. Amir Tzashem on Sunday. On Sunday, what I'd like to do is, see how close we can get to finishing Sif Aleph. I'm not promising we will, but we will certainly get awfully close to finishing Sif Aleph on Sunday.